The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Donald Trump has no character. He doesn't give a damn about the Latino community. He's failed businessman. He only cares about the billionaire friends he has and accumulated wealth for those at the top. And he says immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country. Give me a break. He wants to do away with the birthright citizenship. Who the hell said that in the last 100 years? And just the other day, a speaker at his rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know the Puerto Rican that I know, or Puerto Rico where I'm in my home state of Delaware. They're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable, and it's un-American.
So we're thrilled to be joined by some incredible people. I already mentioned Senator Marco Rubio. Marco, will you come up here, please? Come on. Good man, this one.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Do you want to say something? Go ahead.
All right. Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but I have breaking news for you, Mr. President. You may not have heard this. Just moments ago, Joe Biden stated that our supporters are garbage. Are garbage. He's talking about the Border Patrol. He's talking about nurses, he's talking about teachers, he's talking about everyday Americans who love their country and want to dream big again and support you, Mr. President. And I hope their campaign is about to apologize for what Joe Biden just said. We are not garbage, we are patriots who love America, and thank you for running, Mr. President.
Remember Hillary, she said deplorable, and then she said irredeemable, right? But she said deplorable, that didn't work out. Garbage, I think, is worse, right? But he doesn't know. You have to please forgive him. Please forgive him, for he not knoweth what he said. These people, it's terrible, terrible, terrible to say a thing like that. But he really doesn't know. He really, honestly, he doesn't. And I'm convinced that he likes me more than he likes Kamala.
Poor Joe really, really stepped in it this time. For 48 hours, the regime media screaming at the top of their lungs about this comedian, this insult comic at the Madison Square Garden event on Sunday evening. He says a joke. He says a joke. He calls the island of Puerto Rico garbage or floating garbage. That's disqualifying. And then Joe Biden, the fake president, at the same time that Kamala is supposed to give her big speech at the eclipse. That's what we're supposed to be talking about all day today. But we're not, because Joe Biden says that Trump's supporters are garbage. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Whether you see yourself as garbage or not, you can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. If you go over to the Rumble channel, make sure you leave us the thumbs up and a nice comment, if you so choose. Lots to get to on today's show. You know, we've made the point over the past year, really, that everything this radical communist regime attempts to do to take out Donald Trump, it backfires, I should say, in spectacular fashion. And what's hilarious to me is even a dumb joke, they dogpile him. It's racist. Donald Trump hasn't come out and corrected it yet. He hasn't apologized for the comedian. For 48 hours on an endless loop. I told you yesterday. the opening monologue of Morning Meltdown. It was just Puerto Rico, garbage, Puerto Rico, garbage. Guess what they're not talking about this morning on Morning Joe? That would be garbage. They can't even, there's a passing reference, I think 20 minutes into the monologue, about, well, some insensitive comment. Now they can't even say garbage. It's too insensitive. Now they're just moving on. Now, you see, they've got to defend Joe. Well, Joe Biden's not running for president. He was just speaking off the cuff. You see, now it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal to call half, perhaps two-thirds of Americans garbage. Let me give you a small sampling, thanks to Jon Stewart, the comedian. A small sampling of what we've heard over the last the 48 hours before Joe Biden's gaffe last night. This is from Jon Stewart, clip 10.
The opening act, grabbing headlines for all the wrong reasons. A comedian who offered unfunny, racist, cringeworthy jokes.
Basically calling Puerto Ricans trash.
The most repulsive racial jokes about Latinos.
Disgusting and hateful.
So incredibly crude.
Frankly, just too X-rated to play here.
Extremely vile so-called jokes.
It's too X-rated to play, says Dana Bash. Too X-rated. Puerto Rico, garbage. Can't play it. It's too obscene. And now what are they saying? Well, some are saying the truth. Not nearly enough. Others are trying to justify it. Others are saying it's not a big deal now. You know what's amazing to me? I was telling my wife this morning. I think I have the clip later on. Just the life of a propagandist. How difficult that must be. To say one thing, and I mean to manufacture the outrage. I mean, you are outraged at a joke. This disqualifies Trump for sure. And then to pivot on a dime within seconds. It happens last night. You get up this morning. You see the first 15 minutes of Morning Meltdown. Hey, where's the garbage? Suddenly, the garbage is not important. A lot of people have said this is like Hillary's deplorables comment just before the 2016 election. But you know what? In that case, Hillary said, I consider half of Trump's supporters, I put them in this kind of this basket of deplorables. So she said there, half of them. In the case of last night, he said all of them. This is, like Trump said, it's even worse. All of Trump's supporters are garbage. Of course, this follows the last 10 days of Nazi, fascist, fascist. Now, it is easy to joke about it. But look at how dehumanizing this is. You know, they're going on and on about Trump as Hitler, even as they call the Trump supporters fascists, Nazis, and garbage. But not to leave the funny point too soon, because there's a lot to laugh at here. The life of a propagandist, to be able to turn on a dime, to be able to spew lies effortlessly, to be able to then turn around and say, well, actually, garbage is not that big of a put down, to be able to smooth things over, to just be able to lie, right? When you see everything, I'll give you a perfect illustration. This was from the World Series last night. This guy, the Yankees, I think it's the Yankees. No, it's the other team. The Dodgers, the guys, go ahead and play 11 next to me. The Dodgers guy, he's going up for a catch. Look at these guys in the stands. This is at New York. One guy grabbed, this is in plain view of the whole world. He's holding the glove. Another guy's holding the hand. He rips the ball out and then looks around and says, yeah, he missed the catch. He missed the catch. Those guys in the stands, they're like the propaganda media. And the guy going for the ball, let's say he's the truth. Okay, just play along. I like sports. The propaganda media, they will twist and distort and cheat and lie right in front of you, right in front of your face. And then tell you, no, he dropped it. Yeah, I mean, he dropped it. Just take our word for it. Let's not go to the tape. You know, Joe didn't go to the tape this morning on the meltdown. It took them 20 minutes to get to what Biden said before that, he said, you know, I know there's other networks focused on other things people have said that aren't running for office, an obvious reference to Joe Biden. You know, there's a lot of people saying Joe Biden's sabotaging Kamala's campaign because he's bitter. He's bitter. They stole it from him. Isn't that ironic? They stole it from Trump to give it to Biden in 2020. And then this past summer, they steal it from Biden and they just hand it to Kamala. Or as some are saying online, Kumala, as in coup. C-O-U-P. Kumala. It's a coup. They threw Biden right under the bus and they installed Kamala. And now some are saying maybe this is calculated. I know the White House came out with a statement right after and said, now listen, he didn't, it's taken out of context. What the comedian said, that's really damning. But what the president of the United States said, you know, his words were twisted. Look, we'll give you the transcript. There's an apostrophe there that says supporters, apostrophe S. So we're talking about really the comedian, not all of Trump's supporters. Listen, you saw the tape. You saw the video. You saw the video of them yanking the ball out of the mitt, so to speak. You can't walk it back. There's no going back from this one. This is deplorables times 10. Here, again, you talk about a spectacular backfire. 48 hours on some no-name comedian over a joke. And now look, we're 6 days away from the election. And you've got a lot of Trump supporters furious. You've got a lot of Trump supporters with even extra motivation to get out to the polls. Yet another backfire. Here's Morning Meltdown this morning trying to defend the indefensible. Clip two.
But it's certainly a story on the right who are trying to paint this to be the next basket of deplorables.
Well, of course. And Donald Trump says shocking things every day in Fox News, and all of his apologists of the Republican Party immediately go to it and brush it off, explain it away, or just completely ignore it. Here, they're trying to make a firestorm out of something that, again, if you look at it, you look at what he said immediately afterward, which Donald Trump didn't say. He immediately afterwards said, no, that's not what I meant. I was talking about the comedian and people that supported that kind of talk.
We should have another clip of Biden just to let you hear it again. But there's Morning Joe saying, what a difference in the tone. As I say, it's got to be a challenge to be a chief propagandist every day. How different the tone was this morning compared to 24 hours ago. Isn't it better to just proclaim the truth with sincerity and genuineness, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5? Keep the feast with sincerity, with truth. And then if you make a mistake along the way, and we all make them, you own it. You confess your faults one to another, as James wrote. You correct the record. You say, hey, we got it wrong. Yesterday, garbage, I mean, that means Trump is disqualified. Today, garbage, you know, not a big deal. It also reveals, doesn't it, what they think in their heart of hearts. They do think Trump's supporters are garbage. They think they're Nazis. They think they're fascists. As I said on yesterday's program, I mean, they're setting the stage for the resistance movement following the victory for Donald Trump, assuming he wins on Tuesday. They're setting the stage to resist, to undermine, to disqualify him after the fact. He's a fascist. How can we just stand aside and let him be inaugurated? We've got to fight it. 30, 40, no, 66%, two-thirds of Americans now in the category of garbage. Every once in a while, they say the quiet part out loud. They tell you what they really think. Of course, now it's more and more. It's just right out in the open. I mean, being called a fascist is worse than garbage. With the garbage thing, there's plenty of things to joke about. But meanwhile, you've got Kamala on the Ellipse last night going on and on about Donald Trump being a fascist, a Nazi, Hitler. But just purely from a political standpoint, Kamala's people, and you can add to that the dear leader, absolutely furious at old unpredictable Joe. He said it right when the spotlight was on her. Morning Joe, they still talked about it for 15 minutes, the speech at the Ellipse, before they finally came around and said, you know, well, there was this thing that Joe Biden said, but it's not really a big deal. They corrected the record and he misspoke. And it was taken out of context. So let's move on. What's the big deal? 15 minutes before that, it was all Kamala and it fell flat because the whole world was watching. The propagandists just ripped the ball right out of the mitt. The whole world saw it. And you can't walk it back. It's too late. It's too late. This is CNN. A panel, I think, talking about the garbage remark, clip six.
Joe Biden has never been a big arena speaker. He's never been the most fluid speaker. And by the way, as someone who had a stutter growing up, it's very obvious to me that there's an apostrophe at the end of supporters there. He was referring to the garbage spewed by supporters, not simply the supporters themselves. But Joe Biden has been on the campaign trail. He's best getting ice cream in Maryland, like he was today. He's best showing moments of empathy in Arizona, like he was last week. He's best with union folks, as he was in Pittsburgh last week as well. You use people where they are best. You put Obama in a big arena, you put Michelle in a big arena, and you put Joe Biden in front of a bunch of union people doing retail politics.
You could make the argument that they would be fine if Joe Biden wasn't anywhere near a microphone between now and next Tuesday.
Yeah, let me just accept the most charitable framing of this, which you just gave.
Yeah.
Why is he sitting in front of a laptop at the exact same moment Kamala Harris is out on his backyard trying to give the closing argument to her campaign? What in the world is he doing? Now, I don't accept your framing of it personally, because I actually do believe he, Harris, the Democratic Party, and most of their campaign do believe that half the country is garbage. They've also said people who go to Trump rallies are Nazis. And so it's pretty apparent the disdain with which they hold half of the country in.
Joe already litigated it in Kamala's speech tonight.
But as a tactical matter today,
no, but you don't just get
why
to say
in
that.
The world is Joe Biden giving remarks at the same
I'll give you that.
Some are saying he's sabotaging the campaign. You know, here again, how many times have we come back to a statement by Donald Trump that he gave months ago and say, wow, I guess Trump was right about that. He said last night, and again, he's trying to, he knows this rhetoric is causing violence. People have tried to assassinate him twice. And so he's out doing his part to try to cool it down. And he said there at the end of those remarks in the cold open, you know, I believe Joe Biden wants me to win more than he wants Kamala to win. He may be right. Kamala loses, and here Joe Biden goes down as the only politician to ever beat Donald Trump. And, of course, you have to put an asterisk on that because of the steal. But still, the way he sees it, there's CNN. Did the guy actually say, you know, because I grew up with a stutter, I know there was an apostrophe there. Unbelievable. Let's roll the tape, you know. Let's watch the play. See for yourself. There's a reason Willie and Joe didn't roll the tape in the opening segment. Maybe they did later. I doubt that they did. But there's a reason they didn't roll the tape. Because it is what it is. His supporters, they're garbage. Not Puerto Ricans. Not the island. Donald Trump's supporters. He said it. And like the conservative commentator said in that panel, they've said all these other things. I mean, they mean it. It's what they believe. And when you think about it more seriously, just the danger that's coming. I mean, knowing civil war is in our future. The seeds are being sown. The violent rhetoric, the hatred, the murderous spirit, as I've covered recently on this program. Here, as Joe Rogan said the other day, you have a former president almost assassinated twice. And the regime media, they just get up from that and brush off and carry on like nothing happened. No big deal. And to see them now try to do this with the Biden gaffe, it's quite humorous. Listen to Sky News Australia as they comment on what Biden said last night, clip 7.
Now, in every way, this was devastating for the Democrats. They've seen this horror movie before. When Hillary Clinton lost to Trump 8 years ago after also trashing Trump voters, showing all the arrogance of the left.
You could put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
So you guess what's going to hurt most? I mean, is it a comedian at Trump's rally calling Puerto Rico garbage, or President Biden himself calling half the American voters garbage for liking Trump? But what's even worse for Harris is that Biden said out loud what Harris's whole campaign has just been implying over the past week or two, attacking Trump as the new Hitler. That's already suggesting his voters are Nazis, and it sums up the contempt and the arrogance of so many of the modern left.
He's right. He's right. I mean, again, to make the more serious point, they've been saying this all along, so there's nothing really about it that's surprising. It's just that it comes right on the heels of 48 hours nonstop coverage. Before the MSG rally, you've got Hitler, Hitler, Nazi, Nazi. And then all they were able to pick apart was some no-name comedian who put down Puerto Rico. And notice there, they played the clip from 2016. Hillary, she makes the deplorables comment. Everybody laughs. All of her supporters think it's hilarious. Go back and look at the tape of the comedian when he cracks the joke about Puerto Rico. Everybody groaned. Some people were booing. These were Trump supporters at MSG groaning away at an unfunny joke. And yet the regime, they were able to manufacture some fake outrage. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we heard it. We heard it on a steady loop until about 8 o'clock last night. And then it came screeching to a halt. There's still going to be a little bit about Puerto Rico because, well, you know, Puerto Ricans in Pennsylvania, they're unhappy. And Trump's going to lose Pennsylvania now because of what the comedian said. Well, how much is Kamala going to use, or lose, rather, because of Joe Biden saying two-thirds of Americans, they're garbage. They're garbage. I'm sure it was the dear leader who got on the phone right away to say, hey, you better correct the record. This is a disaster. Sky News is right. Sky News is right. What did he say? In every way, this was devastating for Democrats. It's right. It's one more trip, one more misstep in a long line of many, many of them, particularly in the recent weeks. Nothing is going right. And you step back, as I've been saying with respect to this issue of the Trumpet magazine, why is God protecting this man? Obviously, God intervened on July 13th. You had the head tilt, the wind gust. You had all these, I mean, all these security breakdowns, which made it seem like it was a sure thing, assassinating him. But God didn't let it happen. Why? Same thing with September 15th. And then all of these other almost unbelievable events. And they were starting to get a little bit of traction with this crazy narrative. Comedian, bad, racist, Trump not apologizing, so on and so forth. Puerto Rican voters, Pennsylvania. And just as they were getting a little bit of traction, well, here comes Joe Biden on a Zoom call while Kamala was speaking to 60,000 people in Joe Biden's backyard. Literally, she's right behind the White House. And didn't quite get the publicity she was hoping for. Meltdown, by the way, said that she had 60,000 people at her speech last night. Raucous crowd. Yeah, people from all over. Yeah, bureaucrats from the swamp in D.C. And then Meltdown says in 2021, when Trump gave the January 6th speech there, he only had 53,000, according to Liz Cheney's January 6th committee. Yeah, only 53,000. These people are living in another world. No one has estimated the crowd on January 6th to be just 53,000. It was probably Trump's biggest crowd ever. Well, they downsized the numbers. They manufacture the outrage over Jan 6, just like they did with the Puerto Rican joke. I mean, this is what they do. This is the life of a propagandist. They will yank the ball right out of the mitt on live television and tell you, we didn't do anything. We didn't do anything. He missed it. Too bad for him. On to the next story. Listen to these CNN guests talk at one in particular, talking about Joe Biden's gaffe last night, clip 9.
The reality is, of course, Biden's team trying very hard to clean this up. I think they recognize the damage that has been done. What's been the reaction from Harris's team?
Yeah, well, no one here at this table knows what Joe Biden meant, unless someone here has talked to Joe Biden when he made those comments. And the sad reality is that they were indecipherable because this president is no longer able to coherently and consistently articulate a message.
Wow. No one here at this table knows what he meant. Here is, now think about this. He is the president of the United States for the next 3 months. He's the sitting president, fake at that, but the sitting president of the United States. And here's a guy, couldn't have said this before June 27, of course, obviously. But now, again, the life of a propagandist. I wonder what this commentator would have said in early June or May. He's probably on record as saying, I think Biden is sharp as a tack. I think he's never been better. Mentally speaking, I think he's all there. I mean, I think it's 100%. He hasn't lost a beat. And now he actually said that what Biden said last night, it was indecipherable because this president is no longer capable of putting together a coherent and consistently articulate message. Are you listening to yourself? Are the CNN producers listening to this? Are CNN viewers hearing this? He's the president of the United States. How is he still in office if this is the case? This is the world we live in. In many ways, it's really a world run by propagandists. And Donald Trump, he's bringing just a little bit of truth, cutting through it. And people, more and more, even young people, Latinos, blacks, minorities of all kind, they're looking at the play on live TV and they see what's going on. Thanks to alternative news sources, social media, et cetera, et cetera. Imagine what this world could be like if the only source for your daily intake of news was Morning Meltdown. Can you imagine? That's what they want, by the way. That's why there's forces at play right now, trying to censor and blot out and keep misinformation, as the regime calls it, from ever seeing the light of day. And of course, God isn't letting it happen. He's been working in mysterious and miraculous ways these last few years to bring back Donald Trump. He was left for dead. He had no helper. He had no one helping promote his message. He was blotted out of Twitter and Facebook and all the social media sites. It just took a phone call from the Obamas. That's not working as much as it used to. I've got this article. Let me see. Should I skip? Well, maybe I can just make a few more points on the Kamala campaign train wreck. And then hopefully we can conclude with Obama being silenced, which is a point we've made recently as well. But I'll just draw more attention to it just because of what my father has written in recent months. But first, here is the magnificent summary of Kamala's speech at the Ellipse last night. This was supposed to be getting all of the attention today. But Joe Biden didn't let that happen, did he? This is clip 8.
We know who Donald Trump is. He is the person who stood at this very spot nearly 4 years ago and sent an armed mob to the United States Capitol. Donald Trump sat in the White House watching, and Donald Trump responded with two words. So what? America, that's who Donald Trump is. And Donald Trump has told us his priorities for a second term. He has an enemies list. Donald Trump intends to use the United States military against American citizens. Donald Trump has spent a decade trying to keep the American people divided. What Donald Trump has never understood, either Donald Trump or I will be in the Oval Office. On day one, if elected, Donald Trump would walk into that office with an enemies list. Donald Trump's answer to you is the same as it was the last time. A Trump sales tax. You will pay even more if Donald Trump finally gets his way, and Donald Trump would deliver tax cuts to his billionaire donors. Now, Donald Trump has a different approach. He tried to cut Medicare and Social Security every year he was president to restore what Donald Trump and his hand-selected Supreme Court justices took away from the women of America. A state with a Trump abortion ban. Many was immoral, and Trump's not done. He would ban abortion nationwide to sign into law the border security bill that Donald Trump killed. Donald Trump, on the other hand, has shown his contempt for our nation's heroes, calls them suckers and losers. Look, world leaders think that Donald Trump is an easy mark. We know what Donald Trump has in mind. More chaos, more division. Unlike Donald Trump, I don't believe people who disagree with me are the enemy.
Did you hear that last bit there? We know what Donald Trump has in mind. More chaos, more chaos. Wait a second. He's not even in office. Hasn't been for nearly 4 years. Where's the chaos? I thought it was perfect. The economy, the border, everything. It's hard being a propagandist just to get all the lies to straighten out. You know, to cover up the lie with another lie and to make sure they don't contradict or anything like that. Donald Trump wants more chaos. Well, then who's responsible for the present chaos? You are. That would be you. This is a campaign in free fall. Epoch Times. Together, Harris's fundraising committees raised about $295 million between October 1st and October 16th. Just half a month. $295 million. Donald Trump, he raised $117 million, about half of that, less than half. Listen to this. In the same window, groups supporting Harris outspent Trump's partners by more than 2-1. During the pivotal 16-day window, Harris's principal campaign committee and its main allied political action committee spent about $304 million. While Trump's corresponding committees expended about $143 million. Less than half. And yet Trump has all the momentum. yesterday, Kamala pulled out. She had about, I think, $2 million of ad spending in North Carolina. She pulled out of North Carolina. The early voting count, it's so heavily in Trump's favor, she's, I guess, given up the white, or thrown up the white flag. Put the energy into Pennsylvania. And then in Pennsylvania, which Trump now is supposed to lose, the regime has told us, because, well, there's 200,000 Puerto Ricans there, and they're really offended by the joke. Put it all into Pennsylvania, and then you've got these stories about Bob Casey. I've already mentioned them to you. He's distancing himself from Kamala. He's a Democrat running for the Senate. Wall Street Journal says Bob Casey plays the Trump card. Why would Casey in Pennsylvania play the Trump card if he's trying to win as a Democrat senator? Because he knows the Kamala side is losing. It's losing bigly. The first is that the presidential contest is too close to call. The second is that the only one contender has is that only one contender has coattails. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Well, I can move on from this, I suppose. This one here from Breitbart. Democrat Kamala Harris surrenders in North Carolina, withdraws nearly $2 million, as I just mentioned. And then, at the same time all this is happening, and this is what, again, this is why the Madison Square Garden rally on Sunday really made their heads explode, because this is in deep, dark blue New York. And you had people, as I said earlier this week, coming from all walks of life, every kind of background, every kind of racial, religious background you could imagine. And Democrats are looking at this saying, what is going on? How can we slow down this movement? How can we slow down the Trump train? We're outspending them 2-1. Maybe the Puerto Rican joke will get us some traction. Because Hitler seems like it's not working so well. This is from The Federalist. The social stigma of being a Trump supporter is gone. Here again, this is a point we've been making in recent weeks. As you see more and more athletes, celebrities, you know, high-profile people, like the guy at the football game a few days ago, coming into crashing the shot, the after-game interview, holding his MAGA hat. Wearing a MAGA hat not that long ago, you could easily get punched in the face on the street. The Federalist says, with just a week left before Election Day, it's obvious there's been a major vibe shift in American politics. Here again, the vibe. Again, another backfire. They came out of the Democrat convention. We've got all the joy and the vibes. And next thing you know, they're talking about, hey, well, you just heard the summary of last night's ellipse speech. Donald Trump and Trump and Donald Trump and Trump and Trump and Donald Trump and Trump. That's all they have. Trump is Hitler. And then they can't even get that message, the publicity they're seeking, because Joe Biden's on a Zoom call. He's in the White House somewhere looking at his laptop, telling the world that Trump's supporters are garbage. You can't make this up. This is more entertaining in multiple ways than a Hollywood movie. It says here, with a week left, major shift in the vibes. And the vibe shift is this: people aren't afraid of publicly and unapologetically supporting Donald Trump anymore. There are no shy Trump voters like there were in 2016 and 2020. The Trump voter has been liberated. This is exactly right. This is a remarkable, miraculous turn in events. How do you explain this? Unless you know that there's some head tilting going on, directed from above. How is this even possible? Did it seem possible 4 years ago? When they rigged the election and then intimidated everyone into silence? Don't you dare talk about election integrity. Don't you dare talk about cheating. They were silenced and then persecuted, and in a lot of cases prosecuted after January 6th. Just look at the Trump rally this weekend at Madison Square Garden. When was the last time a Republican presidential candidate packed out the Madison Square Garden? It's never happened. It's never happened. And it doesn't matter what our corrupt corporate media and degenerate cultural elite say. No one cares anymore. They can rage and moan all day long about how Trump is a fascist, a second Hitler, a would-be dictator, and how all his supporters are a bunch of Nazis. It no longer has an effect. And then, to just put a nail in the coffin, you've got the joke. The joke they're running with for 48 hours. We're sticking with this narrative. This is our story. We're sticking to it. And then it just explodes in their faces. Last night, there's an excellent article by, what's his name? Klingenstein, this is, I think it's Substack. He's titled it, "Is Obama's Kingmaker Era Over?" Is Obama's Kingmaker Era over? Obama was the king. Everyone swooned before Obama. Now, I mean, he's being rebuked for lecturing young black men. You know, Sam was pointing out this morning that statement that Biden made 4 years ago. He told the black community, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. And he was hardly criticized for that. That was just 4 years ago. Biden could get away with that. Today, the dear leader, Barack Obama, he can't get away with lecturing young black men that, hey, you better vote for Kamala or else you might be sexist. That didn't go over very well. It's pretty amazing when you think of Amos 7, verses 7 and 8, and just things that my father has said about God pushing aside the dear leader. Even the subtitle of this article, I think at Substack, it says that this election is a cold war between Obama and Trump. And well, who do you think's winning now? This cold war between Obama and Trump. They talk in the article, or this journalist does, this author, Tom Klingenstein. He refers to the handwriting on the wall. I mean, that's taken right out of Daniel chapter 5. The hand is writing. It's writing on the wall. People can see what's coming. You can rip the ball out of the mitt on live television and say that it was a clean play and he missed the ball, all that you want. But people, they've had enough of the lies. They've had enough of the deception. The hand's writing on the wall. Read through Daniel 5 if you get some time. This guy's article says, last week Barack Obama plaintively wailed at the rally for Kamala Harris. I don't understand how we got so toxic and divided. I mentioned this the other day. How did this happen? How did we become so divided? Well, as this author says, how about if you look in the mirror? Hello? You're the cause of so much of this. You're still causing a lot of it. Who was this mystery culprit who injected so much hate into the national discourse? We must track down the man who did this. And then this guy says, hey, Obama, hold up a mirror. How about that? Obama spent 8 years in office tearing up American race relations, which we stupidly assumed had been solved when citizens of every race voted for him as president. I mean, again, I hate to just say I told you so or we told you so, but you can go back and look at the record of the trumpet. The true record, go back to 2008 when Obama was first coming on the scene. See what some of those early trumpet articles had to say. Here's someone that says, hey, I think we got it wrong as a nation. We just stupidly went along. Oh, well, this must be the truth. He must be the healer. He must be the chosen one. He must be coming to unite the whole country. It says here, but no, that was the start of a long national backslide, thanks to Obama himself. As a loyal Alinskyite, Obama knew that division and full-blown race riots were the tried and true path to electoral victory for the left. And he did not disappoint. He reignited animosities that had largely been sublimated, turned illegal immigration into a machete to use against American citizens' sovereign rights, and perhaps most cruelly, weaponized the federal government more brazenly against his political opponents than any previous president. And people see it now. And Kamala can stand at the Ellipse and go on and on about Trump's enemy list and he's going to weaponize these agencies. Again, look in the mirror. Look at what's happening. People are seeing it play out on live television. They see it. You can yank the ball out all you want and say it was a clean play, but we see what you're doing. We see the fruits. More chaos? Trump wants more chaos? That's quite an admission. She didn't mean to admit that, Kamala. But she admitted, basically, we're living in chaotic times. She's the vice president, serving underneath Joe Biden. These two, whether or not Biden wants Trump to win, it's pretty obvious. Biden and Kamala, they can't stand each other. All of this infighting, Obama losing his power like this guy brings out. What a turn in events. Where was I? This election, the stakes are high for Obama. If Kamala loses, it will be the end of his pernicious shadow presidency once and for all. Where did you hear that years ago? This book's been around since 2013, you got to remember. America Under Attack. I was told yesterday we're doing a lot this next week or two since there's so much happening with the election in the United States to promote it, to advertise it, to get it into as many hands as possible. There's no cost or obligation. I mean, we offer it without any charge. Just call our operators, 1-866-930-3024 if you live in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. Says here, even worse, Democrats may finally realize who the prime architect of the catastrophe is, Obama himself. For he is the key figure responsible for the current predicament the Democrats find themselves in. Hamstrung with a sputtering candidate and her bumbling running mate, handpicked for her by Eric Holder, longtime Obama confidant. What's happening to the dear leader? He's lost his touch. The mojo is gone. And this aligns perfectly with our forecast going back months, going back years. In 2020, Obama used all his considerable clout in the party to shut down all of Joe Biden's primary opponents. He knew that in a race full of liberal women and Pete Buttigieg, only Joe could hang on to what remained of the Obama-Biden coalition and win. Plus, with Joe in the White House, Obama could keep running things from his estate on Martha's Vineyard. He was the perfect puppet. This was just 4 years ago. As the wheels come off their campaign, Obama is going to get extremely angry. We saw a glimpse of this a few weeks ago at his now infamous campaign appearance in Pittsburgh, where he shouted, grim-faced, eyes full of rage at the audience, and then he went backstage and chided Kamala's black male campaign volunteers for their failures. They are a sad couple, the Obamas. They achieved more than their wildest dreams and are richer than all but a few humans have ever been, but it's not enough for them. This guy's got it right. He better watch his back. It's not enough for them, and it never will be. To utopia-seeking radicals like Barack Obama, the beau ideal statesman of the destructive left, no one can rest until they reach their ultimate goal, what Obama himself called called for in early, as early as 2008. What do you suppose it is? It's what you've heard in our Trumpet magazine and in America Under Attack for so many years. Fundamentally transforming the United States of America. He says, perhaps at last Obama is seeing his empire collapse. His empire? Some interesting language being used here. His empire is collapsing, mere days from his final triumph. The lawfare he helped engineer failed, just like the bugging of Trump Tower and the long campaign of Russian hoaxes. He is Wile E. Coyote, and Trump is the roadrunner he can't catch despite his many schemes. It says there's no length Obama and his cabal will not go to prevent a second Trump presidency. Thus, the last-second effort to throw a Hail Mary at the buzzer and proclaim yet again that Trump will usher in the Orange Reich. The writing is on the wall. What other lines will they cross now to stop it? And how much of his swiftly withering reputation is Obama willing to sacrifice? That's Tom Klingenstein. You can see there at, I believe it's Substack. Just to remind you, this is from the September Trumpet just a couple months ago. I think that's this one right here. Why is God protecting this man? My father says in the article about America's Supreme Court and the support that Jeroboam receives from that institution, it says Obama is being silenced. He has not yet been silenced, but these verses, speaking of Amos 7, verses 7 and 8, show that in the end, he will be totally silenced. He's not mentioned anymore in the Bible, as far as I can see. This is my father writing. He set out to blot out the name of Israel, and now God is giving him a taste of his own evil. God is blotting out his power and silencing him. It says by the end of verse 8, he is totally out of it. We will see this even more plainly in the time ahead. That was just a few months ago. I mean, even a lot has changed over the last few months, over the last few weeks. But who could have ever imagined, just a few short years ago, Obama, Barack Obama, the dear leader, the puppet master, who could have imagined him being silenced? Who could have imagined him losing his power, his empire, to use the language of this guy that wrote this article? Pretty amazing to see. And of course, all of it aligning perfectly with Bible prophecy, with Amos chapter 7 in particular. I was going to pull up some emails to conclude with. Let me see if I can race forward in my notes. What do we have? A minute. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. A few emails from the last week or so. I'll get there. It says, thank you for your Bible study recently about following Christ's example and our Father's example. And also, we are so excited about being able to read the Psalms of David and the Psalter of Tara. I was really excited about going to see the excavation at headquarters. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. Thank you all for your sacrifice and for your kindness and love. Well, hopefully that'll work out where you can get to see the excavation. It'll be in place for another couple of months. Hopefully we'll have the House of David inscription for as long as possible as well. I know we're coming down to the wire for that one. But one more here says, during most of my life when I was being mistaught in Satan-infiltrated mainstream churches, all I heard was that Jesus would invisibly return and rapture away the faithful to heaven, where we would spend eternity treading the streets of gold while the wicked people on planet Earth would be burned up. It says, I'm thankful that the Philadelphia Church of God teaches the truth. I'm hoping to be involved in the greatest evangelism the world has ever known during the wonderful world tomorrow. That's from you, the dear viewer. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.